Hello again. So before we open up and look at those words a bit more closely, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our God, that you are our hope. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we long, even through your Holy Spirit, that you'd touch each one of our hearts today, that you'd even help me to speak, and that you'd help us to listen to you speaking to us today, Lord. Teach us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So today I'd like to preach on my favorite psalm, Psalm 42. It's my favorite psalm because it's been a great encouragement and comfort to me, even through some very difficult times in my life. Why has it been a comfort? I guess one reason is here's someone that seems to understand what I've been through. Here's someone that seems to understand what it's like to be so sad and feeling hopeless. But the main reason why this psalm can be a comfort and an encouragement is because in this psalm, it speaks of hope. That's the main message of the psalm. Even though that the writer is going through a really difficult time, he's suffering and he's struggling, but he discovers hope, hope in God. And so that is the message. And it's the title of my sermon today, Hope in God. I'll just grab the pointer. Sorry about that. There we go. That's the title of my sermon, Hope in God. And I've got four subheadings for you. Hope longs for the living God. Hope looks through tears. Hope remembers God's love. And hope looks to God's salvation. So, firstly, hope longs for the living God. Well, Psalm 42 is it's a beautiful poem, and it's also a beautiful song, and it's also a prayer to God. And it's full of word pictures. So even as we read through it again, I want you to think about the pictures that you see here. So let's just read verse 1 and 2 again. This is our first picture, is in verse 1 and 2. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? So the picture is of a deer longing for water, desperately needing water. Maybe it's because of a drought, or maybe it's because the deer's been chased and he's been running hard in order to escape danger. Well, as humans, we also need to drink water. Can you remember a time where you're just super thirsty? Well, the psalmist here is using this picture of thirsting for physical water to try and describe our thirst, our spiritual thirst, our thirst after God. The psalmist says, "My soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Well, if we don't drink water, we'll die. But sometimes we forget that our spiritual need, our spiritual thirst is even more important, is even more critical. Do you realize how much you need God? Do you realize that He is the only one who can satisfy your spiritual thirst, as He alone is the living God? Have you prayed to Him, "I need you, O God. Please fill me, O God. Satisfy my spiritual thirst. Please give me your living water." Or John 7, verse 38 says, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow living water." And the next verse says, and this refers to the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him, those who believed in Jesus, were to receive. Well, today God offers you the same living water. And he offers it for free. Same as when God in Isaiah 55 said, "Come, whoever thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat." So what does it mean to be satisfied by God? Well, it starts by believing that He is God, by believing who He says He is, and by trusting in Him and by depending on Him. Believing His promises, and if you truly believe these things, then He will be that desire of your heart. You will want Him to strengthen you. You will want Him to be with you. You will want Him to help you. You will want Him to change you and to grow in Him. You'll want to be filled with the Spirit and led by the Spirit. You will want Him to be your all in all. You will want to find your pleasure in Him. Even just be your pleasure by being in His presence. And this is what the psalmist has found here. He doesn't seek after money. He doesn't seek after pleasure. He doesn't seek after honor. But instead he seeks after the enjoyment of just being in the presence of the living God. That's why he says, "When shall I come and appear before God?" Well, the psalm's written in an Old Testament context. So as the psalmist is describing this, he's probably thinking of the temple and the place where the people would come to worship God. That was where God said he would appear he would be there, in dwelling amongst his people. And right at this moment that the psalmist is writing the psalm, he's really far away from the temple. He's really far away from Jerusalem. As we see in verse 6, it says that he's remembering God from Hermon, the land of Jordan, and Hermon and Mount Mizar. Got a picture of Mount Mizar here, and you can just see it at the back of Lake Galilee. So it's way up in the north of the country. Right now, it's that mountain is on the border between modern day Syria and Lebanon. And so Mount Mizar, we don't know exactly the location of that, but it's probably within this mountain range of Hermon. So as well as being physically distant from Jerusalem and God's people, the psalmist is also feeling spiritually distant from God. He feels even further away and more depressed as he remembers the times when he did gather together with God's people and worship with God's people. As it says in verse 4, "These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival." How about you? Have you ever had a longing just to be with God? Have you ever longed just to be with God's people, to pray with God's people, to worship with God's people, to listen to God's word amongst God's people? Have you ever felt a sense of joy when singing together to God? Have you ever felt a sense of wonder when God reveals his truths from his word and just touches your heart with them? Have you felt a sense of excitement when you hear about what God is doing in different places, even in the lives of others? Well, desire after him again today. Ask God to fill you with his spirit. Fill you with that hunger. Fill you with that desire. Fill you with that thirst. And seek to know the living God. Seek to be fully satisfied in him. And that is the antidote to sin. If we are fully satisfied in God, the things in this world, even those sinful attractions, those desires that we can have, worldly desires, or selfish gains, they seem so pointless after finding this amazing treasure. Anything taking the place of God in our life will look so fake. The living God is the only one who can give true meaning, true comfort, and true satisfaction. Well, the psalmist who wrote Psalm 42, he knew all this, but he's still struggling. So let's look at these struggles under the next heading. Hope looks through tears. Let's just read verse 3. "My tears have been my food day and night." The picture here is of someone eating their own tears. They just are so miserable, they just can't even think about eating normal food. And as the tears run down their face, they're so upset, all they can think of is eating their own tears. There seems to be a number of reasons why the psalmist is so upset. And one of the reasons is mentioned in the second half of verse 3. He says, "Well, they say to me all the day long, 'Where is your God?'" So people are saying to him, "Where's your God? Like, you're going through some times. Oh, so your God's not with you." They're mocking him. These guys that were supposed to be his countrymen, they were supposed to be his fellow believers, they're mocking him. They're not being very good comfort. They're not being very encouraging. They've turned against him. And as a result, as it says in verse 9, he is mourning because of the oppression of his enemies. In verse 10, "As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, 'Where is your God?'" The picture of suffering he is facing is like a deadly wound. It's like a deep, pussy, septic wound. which is threatening to take away his life. Well, the reality of living in a broken world is that we are broken by sin. And we are living amongst a whole lot of people who are broken by sin. And so, unfortunately, the reality of living in this broken world is that at times we will hurt other people. And at times, other people will hurt us. Just like the psalmist here is describing his hurt. So what should we do when that happens? Well, like the psalmist, the first thing we should do is bring these things in a prayer to God. We should bring our hurts to God in prayer. It is because he is hurt that the psalmist thirsts after God with such longing. He knows God is the living God who gives life and healing. And we should thirst after the living God, bringing our burdens to him in prayer. Well, not only is there conflict around us, but there's also conflict inside us. The psalmist looks inside himself and describes what's going on in his heart. In verse 5 there, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me?" The Hebrew word cast down there comes from the verb to sink. See, like his heart is sinking. It's like it's being pulled down by a lead weight, and it's just being dragged down into the floor. He's feeling totally miserable and totally depressed. Well, the Hebrew word translated turmoil literally means a loud raging sound. All those who have had 2 and 3 year olds know exactly what that sound will sound like. But this is the sound of our hearts in turmoil. Inside us, it's like a storm. It's like a war. Our hearts are troubled. And then in verse 4, the psalmist says, he pours out his soul. His soul, he's describing as like liquid. It's melted. It's just not solid anymore. It's able to be poured out. That's the soul in grief, a melted soul, dissolved and powerless. Well, the psalmist goes on in verse 7. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. This other picture we have here of waves, waterfalls, that description of trouble, like waves, one after another, more and more troubles are crashing down on us. Interestingly, the psalmist says, these are your waves, as he's praying to God. He's saying, God, these are your waves that are coming over me. He's acknowledging that God is sovereign, that God is in control. And we don't know why God allows bad things to happen to us. But we can come to him, an all-powerful God, a sovereign God who is in control of all things. And we can acknowledge that even God has control over these bad things that are happening in our lives. Well, we don't know why God allows these things to happen, but we do know that when they do happen to us, God uses those things to cause us to trust in him more. He causes these things so that we depend on him and cling on to him. Although God knows everything about us, he wants us to come to us. He wants us to come to him in prayer. He wants us to tell him all about it. He wants us to tell him what is going on in our lives and depend on him in this way. He wants us to bring our troubles to him and tell him how we are feeling. And this is what the psalmist is doing in Psalm 42. He says the waves are going over him. It's a picture of those doubts and those fears that he's having. He just thinks about his trouble. When he just thinks about his troubles, he is in danger of falling into despair and giving up. But he knows that isn't the full story. Oh, it's our brothers and sisters in China, it's very easy for them to just look at those physical things that are happening and just go, it's too hard, it's time to give up. But that's not the full story. God is still at work. So when the psalmist thinks of his hurts and struggles, he doesn't give up. Instead, he challenges his soul. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? So when you feel like giving up, you need to preach to yourself the sermon. Say to yourself those words. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Challenge yourself. Why are you feeling like this? Even though we can never fully answer this question, there is something that we need to do, and that is to look up. We need to remember who God is. So let's come to our next heading. Hope remembers God and his love. Read verse 6. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you. From within his overwhelming state of depression and feeling distant from God and feeling downcast, he remembers God. And this is what he remembers. Verse 8. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. He remembers God and his steadfast love. The word for God here is in our Bibles is in capitals, Lord, but it's Yahweh. It's the special name that God gave to his people to remind them of his covenant promises and his covenant love. The name Yahweh is particularly noticeable in this instance because within book 2 of the Psalms, this name is actually rarely used. Just to explain that a bit further, if you look at the top of Psalm 42 in your Bibles, it says book 2. And so the Psalms are actually divided into 5 books. And so Psalm 1 to Psalm 41 is one book, and then this is just the beginning of book 2. We don't quite know why or the full significance of why they broke it into 5 books, but we can compare the different books and just what's different about them. And what's interesting that in the first book, the word Yahweh is mentioned 272 times. And in book two, it's only mentioned 30 times. So when we do see it, we should pay extra attention. It's like a spotlight. Yahweh, the God of covenant love. And what's interesting is there in verse 8, right next to the word Yahweh, talking about God and his covenant love, is another word for love, which is chesed, here translated steadfast love. It's only one word in Hebrew, but it didn't seem to be one word that you could quite describe it in English. One word just didn't seem quite enough, because it's a really special type of love. It's actually mentioned 250 times in the Old Testament, so you can't say that the Old Testament doesn't have the love of God. But this love describes God's covenant love to his people. Steadfast love. A love that never stops, never fails. And as verse 8 it says, so by day Yahweh commands his chesed. So by day the Lord commands his steadfast love. So God's love is not just trickling down. Like, you might get a drop, you might not get a drop. No, God commands his love. He's directing his love to you, intentionally directing his love to you. And the way that the poetry is here, by day and by night, God is doing this. God is continually commanding his chesed, his steadfast love to you. So even though those hurts are real, even though those feelings of being downcast and distant from God, those feelings are real, but God's love, his eternal love for you, is so, so real. God loves you. An amazing reality. That eternal God loves you with an eternal love. God directing his love towards us causes us to direct our song and our prayer to him. At times in the psalm, there's a feeling of being far away from God and his presence and unable to praise him. But the heaven reality is that God does love us and that God is with us, which should not only give us a reason to thank and praise him, but it actually enables us to thank and praise him. Look at the last line of verse 8. It says, God of my life, a prayer to the God of my life. We pray to him and praise him as God of our life, because the living God is the comforter and sustainer of our life. And like a cycle, as God's love comes down to us and reaches us, and we're reminded of who he is, we're reminded of his love, then we respond to him. And from our heart comes a song. From our heart comes a prayer to God. Our prayers and our praises go up to him. Now there's one more part of this psalm I'd like to focus on, which is verse 5, which is also repeated in verse 11, which is also repeated in the next psalm, the last verse of the next psalm, verse 43, verse 5. So that most scholars think that originally these two psalms used to go together. And there used to be one psalm, one song. And that this what we have in verse 5, 11, and the end of verse 43 is the chorus. So let me read that chorus again. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet again praise him, my salvation and my God. Well, we've already looked at that first part, that soul challenge. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? So we'll look at that second part, which is the psalmist's response to his questions. We'll look at his response under the heading, Hope Looks to God's Salvation. So this is the psalmist's response. Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Biblical hope is not a wish or unrealistic desire, as we sometimes use the word in English. I hope the All Blacks will win. And as it goes closer to the end time, our hopes are dashed. No, our confidence is in Christ. It's in confidence is on what God has said will happen. It's a sure hope. If God says it, he will do it. In the New King James Version, this verse says, Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my soul. The last part seems quite different from the ESV, which says, my Saviour and my God. Well, the literal translation in Hebrew is the salvations of his face. So you have to translate it. But salvations is plural, implying it's an abundant, completed salvation. The word salvations is in Hebrew is Yeshuot, which comes from Yeshua or Joshua. And we associate it in the New Testament with Jesus. So with our New Testament glasses looking at this Psalm 42, when we see this word salvations, we think of completed salvation. We think of Yeshua or Jesus. We think of Jesus, because completed ultimate salvation can only come through Jesus. In contrast to the psalmist's overwhelming feelings of misery and the pain and the troubles that he is facing, here's a picture in this verse of God facing him. And the idea is that when God faces him, he can receive God's salvation. The idea that when God shines his face upon you, salvation is yours. Well, it's just a picture, as we know that God doesn't have a face. He doesn't have a body like man. But it's a picture of God's goodness, a picture of his favor and blessing pouring out onto us. And we know that that is only possible through Jesus. It is because Jesus, on the cross, took our sin, took our dishonor, took our shame. He took the consequence of that being distant from God for just a moment for our sake, so that we can know God's presence, so that we can know God's abundant salvation. Yes, Jesus endured that shame and that curse of sin so that we might know God's blessing forever, that we might know God's presence forever. that blessing from God is possible right now in this life. But at the same time, we won't receive the fullness of that promise until Jesus comes again. As you well know, when you believe in Jesus, it doesn't mean all your troubles are gone and you'll never have any troubles ever again in your life. You'll never suffer ever again. God doesn't promise us that. But what he does promise us, what he does say has been accomplished for us, is that salvation has been completely paid for us in full on the cross. Yes, it has already been paid, and we already have access to that salvation if we trust in him. But in the future, there is something even more. God promises that we will be with him forever in a place without pain and suffering. At that time, all our troubles will be gone. It is to that future reality that the psalmist looks forward to, a future in which we can experience God's blessing forever, when God will shine his face upon us forever. If God is your Savior, if he is your Lord, you will receive this abundant salvation. Yes, if you thirst after God and his living waters, he will guide you to the eternal springs of living waters, as he has promised. And we can find this promise in Revelation chapter 7. So Revelation 7, we have a glimpse of heaven, a glimpse of some people who have been through the tribulation, who have been through suffering, and are now washed white with robes white in heaven, as it says in verse 13. And now in verse 15, it says, "Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to streams of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." So this is Psalm 42 perfected. This is all the desires of the psalmist being perfectly fulfilled. Yes, in his lifetime, he knew God, and he had faith in God, and he had hope in God, but he continued to have suffering. He continued to have struggles. But this describes where he is now. This describes where he is for eternity. Not just appearing before God, but sheltered by his presence, comforted by God forever. Here is a place with thirst-quenching, spiritual, living water. It is a place without troubles. It is a place without tears. It is a place of completed, abundant salvation forever. So, dear friend, no matter what suffering you are going through right now, even this week, what feelings you will have of anguish, of despair, no matter what suffering you go through, remember God. Remember His love. Remember that hope that we can have in Him. Yes, no matter how difficult your week may be, no matter how many tears you may look through, no matter what sad realities we see around us, instead, remember Him and His faithfulness and His promises. Ask the God of steadfast love to be your God. Come, cling to Him and depend on Him and trust on Him. In the same way that I've come to Him and clung on to Him through so many troubles, through so many difficult situations. He has been my comfort, and He has reassured me of His presence. Just read that verse 5 again. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. Amen.